We're going to turn today to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And what a joy it is to come back to study the Word of God this Lord's Day in the book of Romans. We have done a few books over the years here. I believe Hebrews and the book of Ruth and the book of Genesis. And, wow, we even did the book of Revelation way back years ago. And I wouldn't dare to even begin a series in Revelation until I was 40 years old. And then I still think I needed, as Moses had, another 40 years in preparation. But we're glad to be in Romans chapter 11. We'll begin reading today at the 7th verse. And let us consider carefully these words, because they are so important, not only regarding the present, but also regarding the future, our future. Verse 7, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day." What a terrible thing to have, besides that natural blindness, that judicial blindness upon them. Verse 9, "And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles." Now notice very carefully, literally it says, and we want to mark this very particularly, What we are studying this morning is definitely for us Gentiles. "For I am speaking to you Gentiles," he says literally here, "inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation or jealousy them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou," you remember who he's talking to, he's talking to the Gentiles, "and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee." Amen. We end our reading there at the close of verse 21. And oh, that the Lord would speak to our hearts today this awesome eternal truth that is revealed so clearly here in these verses. We are only going to consider two of the verses in our reading here for our text today, and that is verse 16 and verse 17. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. There it is. We come this morning to a hotly contested ground in the Holy Scriptures. The premillennialists very forcefully declare, those who believe in a literal 1,000 years after the coming of Christ, very forcefully declare that there is a great earthly future awaiting national Israel. But on the other hand, the amillennialists, those that do not believe any extended period of blessing in the future where there is real peace and the mighty working of God that lasts for generations, the amillennialists see no significant earthly future for natural Israel. The amillennialist generally applies the blessings that are spoken of for Israel simply to the Gentiles in a spiritual way. Now, so the one school of interpreters puts too much emphasis on Israel, while the other school of interpreters puts far too little or practically no emphasis at all on national Israel. But thankfully, there's a third alternative, you know. So in verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul uses two illustrations. You see what the illustrations are. In verse 16, the first fruit and the lump. So that would be referring to a lump or a mass of dough, and the first fruit just being a part of it. Now, the second illustration is in verse 17. The branches of the olive tree, some broken off, and then wild olive tree branches brought in and graft on to that stock in order to receive the fatness and fullness of the root of the good olive tree. Now, I would basically believe that the two illustrations are both pointing to the same reality, but the great Orthodox Bible commentators are all divided in various directions on that. And now I stick with my basic belief that the two are actually one thing being spoken of in two different ways. Now, I go back to the book of Genesis. You remember Pharaoh had a dream. Well, actually, he had two dreams. And when Joseph interpreted those dreams to him, he said, those two dreams are actually one. You remember the dreams? There were these ugly cows devouring the lovely fat cows, and there were the diseased ears devouring the good ears of corn. And Joseph told Pharaoh that the two dreams were one or had the same meaning. So I believe that these two illustrations are referring to the same thing. Here in Romans 11:16, I believe that the peace of the first fruit refers to a true believer. Okay? The first fruit's holy. A true believer, and the lump or mass of dough represents all of the true saints of God. Now, the second illustration of the olive tree, verse 17, does not refer, as so many would often say, that the olive tree is always national Israel. But I would agree with Martin Lloyd-Jones. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I agree with him on this, that the whole ransom people of God in all ages are illustrated by the olive tree. Now, who's the root? The root of the olive tree is, of course, Abraham. Because whether an Old Testament believing Jew or a New Testament believing Jew or a believing Gentile, every one of the born again saints of God is called a child of Abraham. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, the scripture says, "And if ye be Christ's," that is apostrophe S, possessive, "if you belong to Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And then at the end of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, we read the term the Israel of God, meaning the same thing as the whole ransomed church of God, the same thing as the olive tree is representing God's people, the redeemed in all ages, including Jews and Gentiles. Now, the fact that some of the branches of the olive tree are broken off simply illustrates what Paul has already been saying in this whole section of Romans. If you remember, chapter 9, 10, and 11 go together because he's dealing specifically with Israel. And in this section, he has already said in chapter 9 and verse 6, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." And what was he meaning? Simply the fact that they were members of national Israel does not make them a true member of the Israel of God. Only those who have faith. And then in verse 8 of Romans chapter 9, he goes on to say, "The children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." You see that? The teaching here is very clear. Because you are attached to the church by having attended all of your life, or by having a Christian parent, does not make you a genuine, regenerated child of God. Let me say that again. Simply because you are attached to the church by having attended all your life, or by having a Christian parent or two Christian parents, does not make you a genuine, regenerated child of God. You must personally experience the supernatural new birth. You must be born again, or you will never see the kingdom of God. Now, let's go back for a moment to Exodus chapter 19. And it's very clear there that the truth that Paul is bringing out is not something new, but it is what has been declared in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, Moses, you know, up on the mountain, God's telling him what to say to the children of Israel. In verse 3, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and to the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Now, isn't that marvelous? The awful plagues that God sent on Egypt to get his people released, and they came out into the wilderness. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, we read in our last readings in 1 Corinthians 10, that they were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they were all at least outwardly a part of the people of God. But notice verse 5, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." God told Moses. Now you see, the Lord said to this people that if you obey my word, if you follow me indeed, then you will be my special people. But what happened to the majority of them? The adults, they died in the wilderness. They did not prove to be the true saints of God. Romans chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. Notice there, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. be not high-minded, but fear. That tells us very pointedly that some of the professing people of God were branches that were broken off. And that's not good. They were broken off because of unbelief. They seemed for a while to be the true children of God, but as time went on, they proved that they were not really born of God at all. Now, we're going to concentrate on these two verses just a little more. We're about halfway there. So we learn from these verses, 16 and 17 of Romans 11, that the church is not merely a New Testament institution. The saints of God were true branches, part of the olive tree in ancient times as well. The olive tree of God's people, the saints of God, part of that, branches of that in ancient times, before the New Testament. They were genuinely a part of God's people. This didn't just happen when Christ ascended back into heaven. This did not just happen on the day of Pentecost. If you remember, Stephen, in his sermon in Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, he's speaking of the Lord. He said, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness." Moses was leading the church at that time through the wilderness. But God was with them there in the church in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit did not make a mistake here using the word ekklesia. It is the right Greek word. It is the word for church that is used throughout the New Testament. Now, some people are not going to like for me to say this. But, you know, some professing Christians don't even like the Old Testament. Some say that the Old Testament is not for us today. I remember hearing my grandmother say that often because she was of another group. And if I quoted something, she said, "Oh, that's old Bible. We don't go by that." Okay. Well, she came to hear me preach one time when I was a young preacher, and she said, "You just keep studying that Bible." Well, I studied the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. So, like the heretics in the early church, the followers of Marcion didn't even want the Old Testament in their Bibles. The people in the Old Testament were saved exactly the same way that we are, by believing on the Messiah by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, and you see it. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. And then you go on, David and Job. All the rest were saved by faith. It was faith in the Lord. We look back to Him, and they were simply looking forward to the coming Messiah. They became a part of the people of God just like we do. By trusting in the Messiah, by looking to the atoning blood that takes away our sin, they became living branches of the olive tree by faith in the Lord. Don't ever believe what some of us were taught years ago when we were growing up. Some of you remember it. We were told that the people in the Old Testament were saved by keeping the law. Well, that's not all they said. They said there's coming a future age in which the Hebrew people will be saved then by keeping the law. Well, why don't they just read the Bible? The scripture is true for all time, saying by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Romans 3:20. And in case we didn't get it there, he says it over and over and over again. Over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, he says it again, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And he closes out that verse 16 by saying it again. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, the works of the law, or obeying God's holy law, is one of the best activities that a person can be involved in on this earth. Did you know that obeying the law of God, obeying the commandments of God, is one of the best activities that you could possibly be engaged in this world? But you can never get to heaven that way. You can never be saved. You can never be saved by obeying God's commandments. Because no mere human being can or has ever perfectly kept the Ten Commandments of God. What do we have to have? We have to be grafted in to the olive tree by the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will never be a true member of the true church unless you were taken as a wild, sinful, lost branch and grafted in to the olive tree, into the redeemed people of God. As lost Gentiles, we were just as Paul says we were in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. He says that we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, thank God, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. By grace, we are now heirs of the blessings of the salvation. We are now the recipients of those blessings for God's covenant people. We are now a part of the olive tree. We have been grafted in. I said at the start this morning that the amillennial theologians see no earthly future for Israel. And the premillennial theologians see Israel as the most special people of God that will have their own temple again and they will have the earth. But we Gentiles will be put up in heaven and we won't get to have the earth like they will. Well, I don't believe that for a moment. But the Jews do have a special position because they were the first natural branches on the olive tree. And no other branches were there at that time. They weren't any better than anybody else. They were special only because they were chosen by God before by His special grace to be a special people. They are branches, but they are only branches now when truly born of God by faith in their Messiah Jesus. They are branches that will never be broken off the olive tree when their faith is in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, praise God that faith in the person and work of Jesus of Nazareth is what is necessary to get us grafted in to that olive tree. And what a privilege is ours as wild, lost Gentiles to be made joint heirs with Christ and with His people by faith alone in the only Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we which were wild by nature were grafted in to the holy olive tree and made partakers with Abraham of the root, the life, and the fatness of the olive tree. It is grace by which the everlasting gardener himself has taken the sword of His word, has cut us off from that wild olive tree, and grafted us in to the holy olive tree by His awesome skill and grace. Praise God for the truth. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, verse 17, and thou, Gentile, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, let us rejoice. Let us be humble. Let us not boast, because something of religious pride and national pride was the cause of so many of them falling, thinking they were simply okay because they were attached in some natural way to the people of God. It takes a supernatural tie, not just a natural tie, a real spiritual work done by the Spirit of God. Let us pray together. Oh, gracious Father in heaven, we are thankful for thy holy word. We praise thee for the clarity of thy truth. And we thank thee, O Lord, that even though for thousands of years thou didst have no other branches in great number on that olive tree of thy people, but Hebrews, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast opened the door to the Gentile hordes. And we praise thee that we have the privilege of knowing the great Hebrew Messiah, the one who came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gives the power, the authority, the right to be the sons of God. We thank thee, O Father, that thou hast adopted us into thy family by the cross work of Jesus and by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. Accept our thanks, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.